This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. If you've lived in Wisconsin for even a couple of years, chances are you've spent time admiring the lakefront in Milwaukee or strolling along Milwaukee's riverways. Well, our next guest says Milwaukee isn't just a city that happens to have great access to the water. It's literally on the map because of its water. John Gerda joins us now. He's a Milwaukee historian and the host and writer of the public television documentary Milwaukee, a City Built on Water. John, welcome to Central Time.
Glad to be here, Veronica.
Well, why do you think that we need to understand water, the lakes, the rivers, if we really want to understand the history of Milwaukee?
Because they are the motive force for Milwaukee settlement, not just Milwaukee's. I mean, water was the reason that most inland settlements were created as well. But in Milwaukee's case, the reason Milwaukee exists is because it had the best natural harbor on the western shore of Lake Michigan. So back in those days, all the way from the Chicago River in Chicago up to the Pike in Kenosha, the Root in Racine, Manitowoc and Manitowoc, up and down the Lake Michigan shoreline, all those cities came to life at river mouths that had harbor potential. So really, Milwaukee is built on water in that sense, and in a literal sense, most of what is now central Milwaukee was a wetland in the early years, and that was filled in. So what you think of as much of downtown, the Third Ward, Walker's Point, pieces of Bayview, the Menominee Valley, that was all wetland. So the some major landmarks were literally built on water.
Right. Didn't you say that the name Milwaukee seems likely to mean wetland in a Native American language?
No one really knows. They didn't leave a dictionary behind. You know, there wasn't. The Native Americans weren't evicted and they left a dictionary in their hogans. But there's one theory is that it could mean wetland, and others that it means good land. And the good land, obviously, is, you know, a lot of that was the water resource was so important. So both work.
So let's look at the port aspect of this in the port of Milwaukee. How did that influence Milwaukee's place on the map?
In the 1830s, 40s, 50s, 60s, those first decades of settlement in Milwaukee, the port was not just Milwaukee's front door, but it was the economic engine. By the early 1860s, because of all the railroads that Milwaukee interests had sent to the north and west, you had just this cascade of grain, especially wheat, pouring in from throughout Wisconsin and neighboring states into and through Milwaukee. So by the early 1860s, Milwaukee was the largest shipper of wheat on the planet. And that was a title that was kind of passed around among other Great Lakes cities, including Chicago. But Milwaukee was really a player there. And that was absolutely an outgrowth, an outcome of having an excellent port.
And it sounds like all along, water wasn't just beauty, it wasn't just recreation, but it meant jobs and industry to those early Milwaukee area people. How did they use water to make a living?
Early on, it was hydropower. So you have dams at the Milwaukee River and the Menominee River, not the Kinnickinnick, that was too small, but you have mills that drove turbines that ground flour and saw lumber and made textiles and paper. So the fact that there was at least a modest drop in those rivers was really important to having industry locate in the first place. And then it was process water for doing everything from tanning hides to making beer, most obviously, also cooling machinery. But it was a plentiful source of good water that was indispensable for the brewers who made their homes in Milwaukee way back in the 1840s is when they began.
And you've uncovered a lot of cool history related to water in the area that I had no idea. You say that at one point the Upper Milwaukee River was a sort of in-town up north around 1900.
Yeah, my favorite part of the documentary, and this is the hour-long Built on Water documentary that Wisconsin I did in cooperation with Milwaukee Public TV. My favorite segment is I think it's about 8 minutes, and it's called River Recreation. And from the North Avenue Dam all the way up almost to Capitol Drive, the river was lined with beer gardens, canoe clubs, swimming schools, amusement parks, private summer homes. People who went all the way out to what's now Kern Park, which was 2 miles from downtown. No, that was their summer place. They went all the way out into the country. And we got some wonderful photographs, just some really evocative photographs. And we found in the Milwaukee Public Schools Recreation Division archives a film of a winter carnival that was held back in 1917. And it shows everything from dog sled to a genuine ski jump to my favorite part, which is a couple of kind of inventors in Milwaukee took the front wheel off a bike and welded a skate blade, an ice skate blade, to the fork, so they had what we called an icicle. And they actually had, the inventor's son, when he saw the documentary, called or sent an email, and he said, that was my dad, and we still have one. So there's actually an ice bike still in existence, but just wonderful footage.
Yeah. I'm surprised that hasn't taken off in a way here in Wisconsin, the icicle.
Well, there was a flurry when the documentary premiered on Earth Day, April 22nd, a flurry of emails and phone calls about, can we make one of those? Can we kind of reverse engineer the one that still exists? And so who knows? You may be seeing those on a lake near you.
We're talking right now with John Gerda, Milwaukee historian, also host and writer of the public television documentary With Wisconsin Eyes called Milwaukee, a City Built on Water. And another bit of hidden history here. South of downtown was a place called Jones Island, mm-hmm. which sounds like a thriving fishing village peopled by immigrants from Poland.
That's right.
What did they do there?
One of the things that history teaches you is that nothing was inevitable, and though there can be just incredible transformations. If you look at Jones Island today, it's the port of Milwaukee. It's the sewage treatment plant. There are what they call tank farms for petroleum products and the Dan Hoan Expressway Bridge. So no one lives there, absolutely no one. It's kind of an urban wilderness. But from the 1870s to the 1920s, that was a fishing village of roughly 1,600 people from the Baltic Sea coast of Poland. There's kind of a subgroup called the Kashubes. My grandmother was Kashub. And they were fisher people, fisher folk in the old country, and where most of their countrymen and women, when they came to America, they had to take industrial jobs. The Kashubes kept on fishing. So they would bring up 2 million pounds of fish in a typical year, and that was Milwaukee's main source of kind of fish protein, and they would sell it door to door. They'd sell it wholesale. They'd smoke it. There were fish fries. You know, so there really was an extremely busy and prosperous fishing colony down there. And there were also at one time 11 saloons on Jones Island. So, that's something. Claudia Luz was the producer and director for the documentary, and we're talking about pitching the idea of a documentary just on Jones Island and doing that in the next year or two. That could be a lot of fun. It's just it's the closest thing Wisconsin has ever had, and perhaps the Midwest, to a genuine urban village right in the heart of town, but a very rural way of life.
If you were to visit Jones Island today, could you see any of the old buildings or evidence of what was once there?
Nothing. No, all you see, Veronica, is there's on the west side, there's a little park called Kashubes Park. And it's probably about the size of your studio. It's the smallest park in Milwaukee. And all that's there is a picnic bench, an anchor, and some kind of nice floral plantings. And there's every year for the last probably 15 or 20, there's been a reunion down there in early August of Kashub descendants. Now no one is still living who live there, but their kids and grandkids are still around. So no, there is no, there is nothing left of that period. And what happened was the city condemned the land for both the sewage treatment plant and for the outer harbor, and so it was completely remade, most of what's Jones Island today is landfill.
Now, looking at a darker period for the lakes, the lower Milwaukee River, pretty much an open sewer by the 1900s, Lake Michigan itself had big problems. Now we're seeing invasive species. There was a lot of degradation to Lake Michigan in that era as well. But you're seeing a turning point now. What are you seeing in terms of the revitalization and the cleaning up of Milwaukee's water?
It's been really encouraging. The Milwaukee River had almost a Jekyll and Hyde personality. Above the dam, it was the water recreation. Below the dam, it was industry and incredible pollution. There's in the documentary, there's some really colorful prose about yellowish murky stream and odor combined to the effluvia of 100 sewers. It was just a cesspool. And what happened was that since the Clean Water Act was passed back in 1972, Milwaukee put the Deep Tunnel Project in, the water's gotten a whole lot cleaner. So back in the 20s, there was actually a serious proposal to turn the Milwaukee River below the dam into a grand boulevard to kind of deck it and turn it to a box sewer, basically, you know, kind of. So now there is a river walk along both banks that runs for about 2 miles, and You can canoe it, kayak it, powerboat it, many places to stop for a drink or stop for dinner. And in the summertime, people are just, they flock to the river. So there has been just a dramatic turnaround, and that's been really hopeful. And above, a little bit farther upstream, North Avenue Dam, there are really pricey condos. So it's become a place where people want to both recreate and live again. The Blake, on the other hand, you know, that in some ways things have improved. We used to dump garbage in the lake, as other cities did, and the water has gotten somewhat cleaner, but the invasive species have just done, they've just wreaked havoc.
And we have to leave it there. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you, Veronica.
That was John Gerda, Milwaukee historian and writer and host of Milwaukee, A City Built on Water. You can screen it online at mptv.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this is Central Time.